Blog Talk Radio.
That indeed should be our prayer. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. That was Tennessee Ernie Ford. What an iconic voice. And we were blessed with that hymn. Tonight is our most important service of the week, which is our prayer meeting. Let me encourage you all to be there. Nice and early at 6:55 p.m. You'll be blessed with 5 minutes of music and hymns, and then immediately at 7 o'clock, Sister Linda Hart will come on and do a half hour of Bible Institute training and teaching. After the half hour of teaching is done, we enter into our 1 hour of intercessory prayer, much needed intercessory prayer. I spoke to a dear brother by the name of Kevin Morris. He lives in North Carolina, and I spoke to him, and he was in tears. He's got bone cancer, and the pain is excruciating. And we were able to read some scriptures. We were able to pray. I was able to encourage our dear brother, and just told him to hold on, to cleave to the Lord. The Lord will get him through it, as he always gets us all through every one of our trials. But that's why we need one another. This is why we have the prayer line. This is why we pray and intercede, because there are hurting people all around us. And, you know, today we may be fine, but tomorrow we too may be hurting. It's their turn to hurt today. It's their turn to hurt now. And tomorrow it'll be our turn. So we pray for the hurting. We pray for those who are in need today, and then they'll return to favor. Pray for us when we're hurting and when we're in need. That's what the body of Christ does. So let me encourage you tonight, 6:55 p.m. Invite someone to come on the line. Invite them to join us for prayer. Again, it is the most important service of our church during each week. Join us. Well, we are just about ready to reach our halfway point in the Manna from Heaven radio broadcast. I've been doing Manna from Heaven since 2014. I guess that's 8 years that I've been on internet radio. I have logged over 5,000 radio broadcasts during the 2014 year when I got on internet radio. And it has truly been a blessing. Now, of course, this is our first half year together. This is week number 26. There's 52 weeks in a year, so we're at the halfway point. And we're talking about Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon, this end-time entity spoken of in the book of Revelation, which is to be the enemy, the arch-enemy of the Lord's church during the last days of human history. So let's read Revelation 17:5, and it says, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great befuddlement." Lord, we ask you to bless this study today. We ask you, Lord, to bless everything on this broadcast. Understanding, give us wisdom. Give us insight. Give us illumination. Give us Bible evidences, Bible proof, inspired truth that would cause us to know that we are in the last days and that perilous times are before us. Help us, O Lord, we pray. Give us the mind of Christ. Let us be true servants. Let us be servants of the Most High God. Let us be the servants of our Heavenly Father. Let us indeed be children of light and not children of darkness. Bless us, O Lord, we pray. Glorious, majestic, and holy name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, Spirit of God, have your way with us, we pray. In Jesus' holy and glorious name. Well, yesterday we briefly talked about this Babylon that finds itself throughout every dispensation of the Bible, this Babylon. First, we come across Babylon in its embryonic state when it is simply known as Babel, the battleground. There was a man named Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord, and he led a rebellion against God. They were building a tower, if you will, a kind of like a scaffolding to reach the heavens because they wanted to dethrone God. And Nimrod led the charge, And God saw that the tensions of Nimrod and the descendants of Noah was serious. And God came down, it says in Genesis 11, and he confounded their languages, brought confusion among the people, and the enterprise, the project, the tower building, ceased. And everyone was scattered, and God brought the work to naught. God brought this rebellious work to its crashing halt. Well, then we have the Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, the king of Babylon, that renowned king of Babylon, who led the Neo-Babylonian Empire, the resurrected Babylonian Empire. That history is found in the book of 2 Kings, the book of 2 Chronicles. That's where you find the history, but the prophecy of it is found in the book of Daniel and in portions like Jeremiah 51:51 and other scriptures. Well, Nimrod came. Nimrod, the new Nimrod, let me say. And who was that new Nimrod? Nebuchadnezzar. Because every rebellious movement has a leader. Every rebellious movement has a person leading the charge in opposition to God. And the new Nimrod was a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And then we come to the book of Revelation. So you notice the first book of the Bible is Genesis, and there you have Babylon mentioned under Nimrod. Then you have the second Babylon mentioned in the midway point of the Bible, which is the book of Daniel. That Babylon was led by Nebuchadnezzar. So you have in the early portion of Scripture, Nimrod. In the middle section of Scripture, who do you have? Nebuchadnezzar. But at the end of Scripture, in the book of Revelation, you have a new Babylon. It's called Mystery Babylon. This one has a lot of mystery to it, has a lot of encoded information. It's a Babylon that is shrouded in mystery, emblematic imagery, if you will. It's called Mystery Babylon. But it shouldn't be a mystery to us because God has decoded the mystery and has made it plain for his children. So we looked at three things about Mystery Babylon. Three things. If you recall, Mystery Babylon, when we're introduced to her in the first verse of Revelation 17, we're told she's already been judged by God. Now, she's on the rise. She's making her move. Mystery Babylon is reaching new heights. But God has already judged her. She's already doomed. She will not excel. She will not achieve what she desires. The same way Nimrod wasn't able to achieve what he desired, and Nebuchadnezzar was not able to achieve what he desired, because they were both stopped by God, Mystery Babylon will meet the same fate. She will be stopped by God. The Babylon of Antichrist will also come to its doom. So first, she is doomed. The first mention of her, we are told she is doomed. The second thing we're told is that she is indeed a mystery, that this Babylon, unlike the Babylon of Genesis, unlike the Babylon of Daniel, this Babylon has a mysterious character to her. Now, again, we don't need to fear the mystery. Why? Because God has made it plain to us, and God has revealed what's going on. Now, of course, we are blessed of God because no human reasoning, no human mind could figure out what this Babylon represents. Thus, God comes to our aid, God comes to our rescue, and he makes it plain what she represents. And then finally, Mystery Babylon is wholly intolerant, wholly antagonistic, declaring war against the Lord's people, the Lord's end-time church, and also declaring war against the head of that church, which is the Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where we left off yesterday. Now, today, we want to add a little bit more to our understanding concerning Babylon, Mystery Babylon the Great. I can tell you, if you turn to the bottom of page 1 in your outline, I can tell you that Mystery Babylon the Great is a religious and economic global powerhouse, a religious, political, and economic. Now, that's like a three, those are the three legs to the stool, if you will. If you have a stool and it has three legs, one leg is religious, the second leg is political, and the third leg is economic. So it is an end-time religious, political, economic powerhouse, which comes into emergence, comes into power to serve the interest of the beast or Antichrist in the last days. So please note, it is religious, it is political, it is economic ecumenism. In other words, it's a one world order, which has these three features: religion, politics, and finances. Now, we can see this happening right before our very eyes. And over there in Davos, Switzerland, every 6 months, there's a group that meets, a group of so-called world elites. They meet in Davos, Switzerland, to talk about the progress of the Great Reset. The Great Reset. This is where the powers that be, or the people, the elitist in the world. Another term for elitist are Satanists. The Satanists of the world who want to issue in the kingdom of Antichrist, they meet every 6 months, twice a year. They meet and they talk about their progress. How are the religions of the world uniting? How are the political entities of this world uniting? And how are they bringing economic stability and economic unity? Because, again, it's got to be religious unity with political unity with economic unity. Now, ever since COVID, or before COVID, you kept hearing, but very few were paying any attention to this group and their talks about the Great Reset. We saw it emerge here in America truly under President Joe Biden when he was promoting the Build Back Better program. The Build Back Better program is not something that President Joe Biden came up with. That's the if you do your research, the Build Back Better program is part of the Great Global Reset. It's part of the agenda. It's part of the agenda. So Mystery Babylon is on the rise. Mystery Babylon is starting to come into focus. Mystery Babylon is emerging, and the players and the promoters and the pushers of this movement have already been meeting, and they don't hide it. Listen, they try to get as much press on this as possible. It's not that they're hiding anything. They're doing it right out in the open. So right now we have, as we're speaking, we have a G7 meeting going on over there in Europe. And all of the leaders of the G7 countries are meeting. And what are they talking about? The Great Global Reset. And the one nation that they're trying to bring under control, which they still don't have in their sway, is the United States of America. Once the United States of America becomes officially part of Build Back Better, or the Great Reset, then truly, truly, Mystery Babylon will be a religious, political, and economic powerhouse promoting ecumenism. What is ecumenism? Ecumenism is one world order. That's one world order when it comes to religion, one world order when it comes to politics, one world order when it comes to economics. One world order with those three legs to the stool. Now, Babylon is also code for Rome. Now, let us not forget that. How do we know that? Well, let's go to. By the way, 1 Peter is an epistle where the Apostle Peter records the suffering of persecution of Christians under the hands of Rome. Remember, Babylon persecutes Christians. Mystery Babylon drinks the blood of Christians and the blood of the martyrs and enjoys it as though she were enjoying a cocktail drink. So, in 1 Peter chapter 5, which again is an epistle written to Christians who are suffering under the hand of Roman, Imperial Rome's persecution. In 1 Peter 5:13, Peter writes, "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son." Now, Peter was never in Babylon. We know that for a fact. Why do we know that for a fact? Well, because, again, there was no Babylon to go to. At the time that Peter wrote this epistle, which was in the year of, let's say the year of this, the writing of this epistle was 63 to 64 A.D., A.D. 63-64. Babylon was in rubbles. Babylon, the city of Babylon, did not exist. It had been completely decimated when the Medo-Persians went in, and it had not been rebuilt since then. Again, Babylon, there was no Babylon when Peter wrote this letter. There was no city. There was no country known as Babylon. All you had was the geographical location, which was completely in shambles and abandoned. There was no church there because there were no people there. And we all know that Babylon was code for Peter being in Rome. Rome. So when he says, "The church in Babylon salutes you," basically what he's saying is, listen, I'm traveling. I'm visiting the churches that are being persecuted by Nero. I am comforting the saints that are under this severe sword of judgment from Imperial Rome. And I'm letting you know, speaking in cold terms, I am in Rome because Babylon is code for Rome. But how do we know that also? How do we know that Babylon is code for Rome? Well, because in Revelation 17, verse number 9, let's go to Revelation 17:9. And this is what the Spirit of God does for us. The Spirit of God gives us another clue we so desperately need in order to understand who Babylon is and where is Babylon located. It says, "Here is the mind which have wisdom." Do you have wisdom? Do I have wisdom? Well, God's given us the wisdom. "The seven heads." Now remember, the woman is riding, she's riding a beast. In fact, let's go there. Let's go to, before we read Revelation 17:9, let's read Revelation 17:3. So the angel carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman, that's Mystery Babylon, And she sat upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Okay, verse 9. Here is the mind which have wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. In other words, Mystery Babylon is located in a region, in a place, where there are seven famous mountains. Only one capital city in all of history sits on seven famous mountains. And if you go to page 2, there you have the seven hills or the seven mountains of Rome, ancient imperial Rome. And there you have a picture. And there you have the seven hills. And that's where the woman is centered. That's where Mystery Babylon has its headquarters. This is where this religious, political, and commercial powerhouse is situated in Europe, right in the center of Italy, Rome itself. This is borne out. This is proven. If you consider all of the historians, both Greek and Roman historians, Greek or Latin historians, they will all tell you that the city who sits on the seven hills is Rome. The ancient world knew that. John wrote from the perspective of the ancient world. John the Apostle, when he wrote Revelation, was a first century writer. There's only one city in power who was persecuting the saints at the time which Peter wrote, to which he identifies Rome with Babylon, and here in the time that John wrote, a fellow apostle with Peter. Now, there's something else that we need to understand about the woman, the harlot, Mystery Babylon, and the beast. Remember, the woman does what? She rides the beast. She rides the beast like someone would ride a horse. The beast does not throw the woman off. The beast welcomes the woman to ride him. The Antichrist is welcoming Babylon to ride him, because they are in partnership together. So let's read again Revelation 17:3. So he, the angel, carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. Who is this scarlet-colored beast? He has names full of blasphemy, and he has seven heads and ten horns. The seven heads are the seven hills, and the ten horns are ten rulers that reign with him, who are subject with him. They help him control his vast empire. So, let's go to Revelation 13, 18. Revelation 13, 18. And it says, here is wisdom again. You see, this is God. God is just decoding. As we go along, God gives us a picture. God gives us a vision, he gives us an imagery, and then he says, here's the clue to unlocking what you just saw. It's a mystery. You can't figure it out by yourself. Here is the key to solving the riddle. Here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. Now notice, it is never 6666. It's not a series of six, it's only three sixes. The first six represents Nimrod. The second six, Nebuchadnezzar. The last six is what? Antichrist. Now, Mystery Babylon is also 666. How do we know that? Well, because, again, the woman and the beast are one and the same. Partners, the two are one. Listen, the same way a husband and a wife are one, and Christ and his church are one, the woman, the harlot who rides the beast, they are one entity. They're partners. They're in this thing together. So, in antiquity, when we first hear of Rome, in the Bible, we know of pagan imperial Rome. That is the Rome under the Caesars. Then that empire fell, but it was reborn under the papacy. If you know your world history, you know that the papacy arose out of the rubble of imperial Rome. So now you have papal Rome. And by the way, whether it's imperial Rome or papal Rome, they are both pagan. They are anti-God when it comes to religion. Imperial Rome, papal Rome, and then the last six will be ecumenical Rome. The Rome that has the one world religion, the one world political structure, and the one world economic base. If you have wisdom, you'll understand this is the beast. Again, if you're looking at Babylon, it's Nimrod first, Nebuchadnezzar second, Antichrist third. If you're looking at it from the viewpoint of the book of Revelation, you have imperial Rome, papal Rome, ecumenical Rome. Babylon and Rome are one and the same. Babylon is the Old Testament name predominantly, and Rome is its New Testament counterpart. It's the same thing. So, we're going to leave it there. We shall come back tomorrow to continue to break this down and see. Listen, we have to understand we're in the last days. All of this is being formed right before our very eyes. All of this is happening as we are speaking. And you watch the news, and you listen to what's coming out of Europe, and all you will hear is the Great Reset. Why the adjective great? Well, because again, let's go to Revelation chapter 17, verse 5. Revelation 17, 5. And upon the harlot's forehead, upon the whore's forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon, in other words, it's Babylon. Yes, it has Babylonian roots, but it's really Rome. Mystery Babylon the Great. There you have it, the Great Reset. It's coming into formation. And when the Antichrist appears on the scene, he will have religious dominance, he will have political dominance, and he will enjoy economic dominance. That's where we're heading. This is why they want to crash the U.S. dollar. This is why they're trying to make the U.S. dollar worthless so that now they produce a new currency. Whose currency do you think they want to introduce? The currency of the Great Global Reset. That's the currency. We'll leave it there. We'll come back tomorrow. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. Don't forget tonight at 6:55 p.m., we have prayer. I expect to be on the line with all of my brothers and sisters. God bless you.
You left your room this morning.
Did you think
you'd
pray?
Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? name the whole.